Well, praise the Lord. It's all good to be in his house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29. Deuteronomy 29, beginning at verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land. The great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs, and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear to this very day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. And when you came to this place, Sihon king of Heshbon and Og king of Bashan came out against us to battle, and we conquered them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. All of you stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders and your tribes and your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives. Also the stranger who is in your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may be God to you, just as he has spoken to you, and just as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." The great Exodus, the power of God displayed in Egypt, the people of God miraculously rescued out of the house of bondage, saved by the blood, covered by the blood, this holy application. The Pharaoh of darkness and all his lords, no match for the hand of God. "Let my people go." And here they are on the road to a new land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land of God. The celestial awaits. Exodus 15, verse 11. "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" 2 Samuel 7, 22. "Therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you." Psalm 89, 8. "O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? No one like the Lord our God. No one like him, nor any besides him." Well, the journey has begun, and the people are making their way, fresh off this incredible exodus, this exit, this flight out of Egypt. There they are, mounted up on wings like eagles. It's like they're soaring. Press on, people. Press on as the Lord leads you in glorious manner. It wasn't long, and Pharaoh lifts up his voice and cries, "What have I done? I let these people go. We let these people go after them now. And so the chase is on. We're talking about hot pursuit. Exodus 14, verses 5 to 9. They said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready, that is, he harnessed his chariot and took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea. That devil's after us. The people are afraid, fear struck, and the people are crying out. Suddenly, the ones who were soaring find themselves grounded. You know, we are so aware that the enemy seeks the Exodus party to capture again, to enslave once again. And yet, hear the cry. Hear a voice in the camp, verses 13 to 14. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation, the deliverance of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Are there those here today, fresh off your exodus, or fresh off a particular exodus, some exit, some flight out of a form, a particular bondage, and the enemy is hot on your heels? You can sense it. You can feel it. Tremors of the earth. You can hear it. The sound of hooves and wheels, war horses snorting and chariots cutting through the air. You can even see it. You're camping. You're camping by the sea. But this camp cannot become a place of permanent dwelling. And the good news is that the Lord your God, who split the sea then, can and will split the sea now, that you might walk on taking ground. This is our God. So receive the word of the Lord today. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You know, that night, the Lord protected them as they camped by the sea. But the time of camping was coming to an end. Time to move, verses 19 to 31. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other. What a night light. So that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he confused the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Hallelujah. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew, he shook off the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. The Exodus, salvation, and now this symbolic of passage through the waters of baptism. And this passage through the waters speaks of a drowning of the old, a drowning of those and that which once ruled over us, enslaved us. Yes, baptism. And so too, passage through waters, sea waters, deep waters that seem impassable, and an enemy force, however this speaks, seeking to end our advancing. The waters opened. The waters divided. The sea split. When the waters were divided, split, the people had to move. They couldn't camp any longer. And this was certainly no time for dragging feet. The enemy hot on their heels, and the Lord God makes a way. Pick up thy feet. The message is the day broke and the Egyptians were running. The sea returned to its place as before. God dumped the Egyptians in the middle of the sea. The waters returned, drowning the chariots and the riders of Pharaoh's army that had chased after Israel into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites walked right through in the middle of the sea on the dry ground, the waters forming a wall to the right hand and to the left. God delivered Israel that day from the oppression of the Egyptians. And Israel looked at the Egyptian dead washed up on the shore of the sea and realized the tremendous power that God had brought against the Egyptians. The people were in reverent awe before God and trusted in God and in his servant Moses. What a mighty God we serve. And the people start singing a few lines to their song. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. Can you hear them singing? The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Oh, yes, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? There they are singing, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. Sing to God. What a victory. Flying high once again. Feeling unstoppable. Can hardly believe what has taken place, and yet have come to expect a miraculous. Walking along step after step. One day, 2 days. But 3 days pass by. There's no water. A wilderness journey precedes the promised land. People of God, a wilderness journey precedes the promised land. And it is no different concerning our journey to the promised land and the great promised land, glory. People of God, remember the lyrics to your song. God is so faithful. He's got you. Hold your peace. Keep soaring. The same God that brought you out of Egypt and split the sea so you could walk right through it can no doubt provide you with water. Keep rejoicing. Keep singing. Keep trusting. Hold the spirit of faith. Keep walking every step. A decided step of victory. Well, we know the history of the Exodus band. It's like they're soaring, or at least walking on air. Step after step, feet off the ground, until some bump in the road, and once again, they're dragging their feet. Didn't take much. And there they are, dragging their feet again. All is well. All is not. All is well. All is not. This sick cycle. Just remember, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. Pick up thy feet. Well, the wilderness journey, you know, it lasted a long time. And the people had issues. The faithfulness of God and the struggle of the people. You know, it didn't have to take so long in the wilderness. It didn't have to play out like it did. If the people would have just walked as the Lord would have had them walk, if the people would have picked up their feet. Yeah, pick up thy feet. You know, receive the good news today. Receive the word of the Lord today. People of God, the Lord is with us, and the Lord is for us. The Lord has never failed. Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart. I ask today, has the journey rendered one weak? Has the journey sucked the strength out of any of us? Any faint and weary? Feet dragging along? You know, the sound of the foot draggers, the sound of a foot dragger. Has the journey just gotten old? And here, weary and well-doing, and the march of victory has cratered to foot dragging. Is there one here today, even fallen? Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak this day, today, this hour, this place. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. This will get us back on our feet. This will put strength back in our step. This will silence the sound of feet dragging. This will prevent our feet from dragging. This will send us soaring through the wilderness. But you know, the Exodus band, they had a waiting problem. A waiting on the Lord problem. No water, wait on the Lord. No food, wait on the Lord. Moses taking too long up the mountain, wait. Time and time again, having to wait. And they are wailing, murmuring, complaining. This in addition to the sound of the dragging of feet. Ah, people of God, wait for the Lord. Keep his way. The Lord is good to those who wait. I will wait. My soul will wait. Pick up thy feet. Pick up thy feet. Have you ever walked alongside someone who was dragging their feet? You can see it, and you can hear it. Be it a friend, be it a child, be it a stranger. Or the picture, not of walking, but of a child. You know, they're riding their bicycle, they pick up speed, and they begin dragging their feet on the pavement. Wearing out the shoes their father provided them with. Son, daughter, pick up thy feet. Pick up your feet. You're going to wear out your shoes. You're going to wear out your sandals. The Exodus band. Worn out shoes, worn out sandals would have made their journey even harder. And there would have been more complaining, no doubt. But hang on a minute. Deuteronomy 29, verse 5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. The Darby translation. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not growing old upon you, and thy sandal is not growing old upon thy foot. God's word translation. For 40 years I led you through the desert. During that time, your clothes and shoes never wore out. Incredible. Supernatural sandals. Supernatural footwear. Supernatural shoes. Superpowered footwear. Footwear that has been touched by God. Even though the people dragged their feet time and time again, their sandals never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. I mean, how merciful is the Lord? How gracious is the Lord? How kind is the Lord? How caring is the Lord? I think we might just say he's long-suffering. The people dragged their feet in the wilderness along the journey time and time again, but the shoes did not wear out. What a miracle. If they only would have picked up their feet and picked up the pace and started planting steps with purpose, walking in the strength of their God, for the strength of the Lord was their portion. If they only would have looked at the clothes they were wearing, if they would have grabbed hold of them in wonder, amazement, marveling at the care and concern and kindness of the Lord, if they would have looked down at their shoes, their sandals in amazement, these holy conqueror trainers on their feet, these gospel shoes in their eternal tread. I've owned a few pair of shoes in my life, as I'm sure you all have. Shoes wear out. Sandals wear out. Some, quicker than others. And there are certain shoes we can take to the cobbler for a shoemaker's fix. But there are shoes that never wear out. There are shoes that never wear out. The material, the design, the tread, and all. Eternal. One might even quote Deuteronomy 33:25, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." You like cute verse. He says, "Surely if I was wearing shoes of iron and brass, my feet would be dragging. I don't got the strength in my legs." But finish the verse. Finish the verse. "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." Let's receive these words today. I share these words. Here are two things provided for the pilgrim: shoes and strength. As for the shoes, they are very needful for traveling along rough ways and for trampling upon deadly foes. "We shall not go barefoot. This would not be suitable for princes of the blood royal. Our shoes shall not be at all of the common sort, for they shall have soles of durable metal, which will not wear out, even if the journey is difficult, long and difficult. We shall have protection proportionate to the necessities of the road and the battle. Wherefore, let us march boldly on, fearing no harm, even though we tread on serpents or set our foot upon the dragon himself. As for the strength, it shall be continued as long as our days shall continue, and it shall be proportioned to the stress and burden of those days." The words are few. "As thy days, thy strength," but the meaning is full. "This day we may look for trial or for work which will require energy, but we may just as confidently look for equal strength. This word given to Asher is given to us also, who have faith wherewith to appropriate it. Let us rise to the holy boldness which it is calculated to create within the believing heart." God is our very strength, and strength is our God. And verse 24, "And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil." We're talking about an anointing. You know, I can testify that these God-given gospel shoes never wear out. The wearer might wear out. The wearer may start dragging their feet for a mile or a few miles, for more than a few miles. 40 years. And they never wore out. How long has it been for us? Are the feet dragging? Are our feet dragging? I mean, can't we see it? Look! Grab hold of the clothes. Now look at the shoes. Examine them, the material, the design, the tread, and all. How long has it been? They have not worn out. And these shoes, all the dragging on the shoes, they haven't worn out. You know, it's just time to start walking properly. No, the footwear doesn't wear out, but foot dragging is still no way for Christians to walk, to journey. I mean, these were some kind of sandals, people. These were some kind of shoes. Nehemiah 9:21. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. The clothes did not wear out, and their feet didn't swell. The message, you gave them your good spirit. You're trying to teach them. To teach them to live wisely, you were never miserly with your manna, gave them plenty of water to drink. You supported them 40 years in that desert. They had everything they needed. Their clothes didn't wear out, and their feet never blistered. Endless walking and yet no swelling, no blistering. And you know, it's amazing. Oh, it's so amazing. The clothes don't wear out. Yeah, we're talking about the garments of salvation and regeneration and all the other garments, like the garment of praise. Take a look today. If garments and shoes are worn out, if the feet are blistered, we are not wearing the garb of the Exodus band. We must read it again. Isaiah 40:28-31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I think we need to wait on the Lord. The one who gives power to the weak. The one who increases strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. We're talking about a mounting up, running, not weary, walking, not fainting. The KJV, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But they that wait, to wait, to look for, hope, expect, look eagerly for, linger for. It's literally talking about a binding together, to twist, to be strong, robust. This is a great need today, and this is our great hope today. Hope for the faint, hope for the weak, hope for the weary, hope for the fallen, waiting, looking for, hoping, expecting, looking eagerly for, lingering for. We're talking about a binding together, a twisting. With who? A twisting with the one who is everlasting. A twisting with the one that is everlasting, the one that does not faint, the one that is never and has never been weary, the one of ultimate power and strength. He provides all we need, and our clothes and our shoes will never wear out. But we need strength for the journey. We need power. We need might. We need a binding together. We need a twisting together with God that we might be strong and robust. Listen, the Exodus band, they needed a binding together, a twisting with Jehovah. They journeyed. They followed. But a binding together, a twisting together makes all the difference. What a difference. If your father tells you to pick up your feet and you don't, is that not rebellion? Foot dragging slackens the pace. Foot dragging prolongs the journey. Foot dragging can affect others. Foot dragging produces an irritating sound. Foot dragging can be costly. I think of the young man on a farm, no, not walking, but while riding along, dragging his feet in the dirt, he got ran over by a packer, a miracle of God that he didn't wear out. Life worn out. And we know that the dragging of the feet was costly for the Exodus band. I know we're almost out of time, but we got to read it this morning. Deuteronomy 1, beginning at verse 21. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go! What are you waiting for? Go up and possess it as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged, people. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word. Bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and of all the cities into which we shall come. The plan pleased me well, and so I took 12 of your men. Be careful who you take and who you send. One man from each tribe. They departed and they went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us saying, it is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you complained in your tents. Wow, careful. And said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt. I mean, what a thing to say. To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites and to destroy us. Where can we go up? For our brethren have discouraged, that has melted our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. And I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt, before your eyes and in the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all that you did not believe the Lord your God who went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go in fire by night and the cloud by day. And the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land which the Lord, which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it. And to him and his children I'm given the land on which he walked, because he wholly, fully followed the Lord. The Lord was also angry with me for your sake, saying, even you shall not go in there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones and your children, who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there. To them I will give it. They shall possess it. You know, it's too late for them, for these foot draggers. Lord, keep us from an end like this. And there is hope today, this day, for those dragging their feet, for those even faint, weary, fallen. There is hope. There is hope for the choosing. It is time. It's time for a binding together, a twisting with God, that we might be strong and robust. Listen, our thread of a life so desperately needs this. There are those today that need an exodus. It may be an exodus from Egypt, which can represent the old life, the sinful life, life outside of Jesus Christ, the sinner in need of grace and mercy, the sinner in need of the application of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's time for your flight out of Egypt. And there are those today that need an exodus. Not Egypt, but Sodom and Gomorrah. And all this represents such wicked cities, corrupt, sinful, abhorrent in the eyes of God. And a man and his family found themselves in such a place. You know what? They had even chosen the place. And God proclaimed judgment upon the wicked place. But thank God, there was a praying uncle. Thank God. There was a praying uncle praying for his nephew and his family, and God answered the prayers, and God sent rescue. He sent chance at rescue. Genesis 19, beginning at verse 15, reading from the message. At the break of day, the angels pushed Lot to get going. Incredible. Like, what are you doing, man? Hurry! Get your wife and two daughters out of here before it's too late and you're caught in the punishment of this city. Lot was dragging his feet. The men grabbed Lot's arm and the arms of his wife and daughters. God was so merciful to them and dragged them to safety outside the city. When they had them outside, Lot was told, "Now run for your life. Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere on the plain. Run for the hills or you'll be swept away." But Lot protested. "No, masters, you can't mean it. I know that you've taken a liking to me and have done me an immense favor and saved my life, but I can't run to the mountains. I can't run for the mountains. Who knows what terrible thing might happen to me in the mountains and leave me for dead. Look over there. That town is close enough to get to. It's a small town, hardly anything to it. Let me escape there and save my life. It's a mere wide place in the road." "All right, Lot, if you insist, I'll let you have your way. I won't stamp out the town you've spotted, but hurry, run for it. I can't do..." What line is this? "I can't do anything until you get there." Thank God for a praying uncle. That's why the town was called Zoar. That is small town. The sun was high in the sky when Lot arrived at Zoar. Then God rained brimstone and fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah, a river of lava from God out of the sky, and destroyed these cities and the entire plain and everyone who lived in the cities and everything that grew from the ground. But Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. You know, Lot was dragging his feet. Let's have the worship ministry. Please come. You know how many Lots have lived? A lot. Some have been mercifully rescued. And some have dug their heels in only to perish. KJV, and while he lingered, I'm just going to linger here for a while. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful, so merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Lot was dragging his feet while he lingered. You know, if there is a Lot in the house today, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Don't stay in the plain and go further than this man Lot and escape to the mountain. If there is a wife in the house, a wife of a Lot, don't look back. Keep up with your husband and keep up with the angels. You've held their hand too. Don't look back. Don't look back. This is the deadliest form of foot dragging. She did. And she became a pillar of salt, and this is not the salt we are to be. Any son-in-law? Or son-in-law-to-be? Any sons-in-law in the house? Here today? Verses 12 to 14, then the men said to Lot, "You have anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in this city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place. Because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord." Absolutely amazing line. "And the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out. Lot went out, and he spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, "Get up. Get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. The Boyce Bible, his sons-in-law thought he was kidding and wouldn't budge. Not even dragging of the feet. The Living Bible, the young man looked at him as though he had lost his senses. You know, I just pray that this message would budge you. Budge someone. Someone's. Before it's too late. And you know what's in my heart? And I pray that it's in your heart also. 2 Chronicles 29:10. "Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel." The message reads, "I have decided to make a covenant with the God of Israel and turn history." Children, don't drag your feet in this. The Holy Spirit says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Yes, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If there be foot dragging in any way today by the Spirit of the Lord, pick up thy feet." You know, it could be in the realm of obedience. God has called you to something. God has told you to do something. He's trying to help you. It's like he's dragging you along. He's come to you as a good father. He's trying. He's trying. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention, trying to lead you in right manner. But in this, you know, the realm of obedience, and there's disobedience, and you're just dragging your feet, and then you're choosing to linger for a while. And he's like, "Just get out of here." Or at the call of the Lord, not rising early like Abraham. Abraham rose early, even though the journey that he was about to embark on, man, it was not easy. "Take thy son. Take the promise I've given you. Take the son that's been born to you and let's go slay him. Go journey to the mountain of which I tell you." Abraham woke up early, the Bible says. He didn't sleep in. He didn't hit the snooze button, you know what I'm saying? It says that he packed everything. He packed wood. He packed all he needed for the fire. He didn't get to the place and say, "Oh, you know, I forgot the wood. Oh, I forgot the boy." I couldn't wake him up. A timeline of the Lord. And this. Dragging to the feet, so many applications. Pick up thy feet. You know, maybe there should be an archaeological dig. You say, "What are you talking about?" Well, I don't know about you, but I wonder what happened to those clothes and shoes. You know, a generation that never came out of the wilderness, they could have. But they didn't, because they wouldn't enter. They wouldn't enter. You buy me a ticket, I'll try and dig. I don't know where they are, but can you imagine coming back with these shoes that never wear out, and these garments that never wear out, and you're like, "The Exodus band wore these." You'd be putting them up on eBay. That binding, that twisting with God. It's time, people. It's time. Psalm 119:60, "I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments." The message says, "I got my feet back on the trail you blazed. I was up at once. I didn't drag my feet. Was quick to follow your orders." If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today, you're saying, "What do we need to do? What do I need to do to get saved?" Well, the pattern hasn't changed. Repent. be baptized. You shall receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's the package. Thank you, Peter. You can have your exodus today. Your exit, your flight. You fly out of Egypt.